We got Broken to the World, a bonus episode this week of No Peter Cards, along in Las Vegas, Seth Nyman in studio, and we'll just kind of review a couple of things and update you on my time in camp so far, you know?
Yes, sir.
So what do you think, Seth? What do you think of Bruno Garcia? You were there, too. What do you think of the performance?
I was looking at Twitter, and I've talked to you and been with you around long enough. We've talked about Broner. It's just, and Mikey's great. Not taking anything away from Mikey. I think he's a great fighter. Like he said, his timing is great. But you see flashes of brilliance with Broner. He just it's frustrating that he just can't sustain it or deliver it over a 12-round fight.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I think Adrian's always been a guy who fights in spots. Even when he looks good, he's fought in spots. It's just you don't catch it because the guy he's beating, they don't make him pay for the spots where he's resting. You only see the spots where he's working. But I think the kind of the cats out of the bag where they beat him in the fact that he only likes to fight in spots, so the trick is to make him fight in the spots where he doesn't want to fight, in the spots where he's trying to rest. And it was something that I tried to do when I fought him. It's something that I think has been catching on, really. And I think that was the real consistent thing about Mikey Garcia was exactly that word, the consistency of Garcia's attack, of Garcia's fight plan. It was very consistent, and it didn't allow Broner many spots to kind of rest. You know, he had to work, and Broner a lot of times wants to work, and he wants to follow it up as he chooses, where sometimes he'll follow it up, and sometimes he wants to rest. Well, Mikey didn't give him that benefit of the doubt. You know, even if the moments where Broner did good, Mikey was always ready to answer if Broner wasn't ready to follow up, you know. So it's a fatigue thing. I mean, it could also be a mental thing. It could be a lot of things, but I really didn't think AB was bad. I just thought it was just Mikey was so good. You know, I thought AB came sharp. He came ready to fight. It's just, you know, it's the normal AB. It's the AB you're always going to get, and that's the one that fights in spots. I mean, there is no other AB that exists. You know, so I think, considering all that, he was actually sharp. It was just, he wasn't consistent enough, and therefore Mikey was really good as well. You know, I mean, it wasn't just about Mike's consistency. I thought Mike was very creative. I thought Mikey showed us some good stuff, being able to box on the back foot a lot of times. Obviously, when he came forward, very creative, and variations of combinations of punch selection was very, very creative as well. The way he was using that hook with both upstairs and downstairs, changing ranges and distances, little feints. And like I said, even his ability to box going backwards at times. You know, Mikey is so underrated as a boxer. He's so fundamentally sound. He has that Mexican-American look to him, even with his hands, like a Marquez, like a Mexican style, with his hands greatly positioned. But he's actually a guy that can do so much more than just box fundamentally sound. You know, he's a fundamentally sound boxer with great positioning. I mean, do you notice that? The little sidesteps he makes when he's fighting. I mean, the little sidesteps creating new angles. It's such a little nuance that you almost don't catch it. The little sidesteps that he's making, the little pivots that allow him to follow up or to allow him to continue with his combination from a different angle. It's so beautiful to watch. You have to actually understand it to really appreciate it. You know, to be able to punch in a combination and then have your balance about you in a way where you can switch around, step around, spin around, and continue another combination on the perfect balance again, the perfect hand positioning again. I mean, it's enough to drive an opponent crazy because he feels like he's not going to get away, and he feels like he doesn't know where they're coming from, and he feels like he can't get you out of position and make you pay for anything, because a guy with Broner speed, all he needs you to do is be out of position here and there, and he'll punch right in between you, you know? Mikey's positioning was so good that he just never allowed Broner that kind of daylight.
I like to go back and watch fights after I talk to you, so I know what to look for. And so Mikey's just like a naturally gifted fighter, and he's a smart fighter. It seems like he has a plan. He knows what he wants to do when he goes in there.
Yeah, he's gifted, but he's also very well schooled. I mean, you can tell the fundamentals Mikey has. You know, those don't just come to you. You know, those are very well taught. Those are very well schooled. I mean, the Garcias obviously have something going on over there. You know, where they're doing well because he has such a proper fundamental style that's not just intelligence or athleticism. That's actually teaching. You know, like, his hands are in great position. His balance is always great. He turns the right amount of weight on his shots. He's fainting. It's just very, very well. He's just a very, very well-schooled fighter, and he's been a great student of the game for him to be able to fight in the way he does and execute the things he does in the way he does them, you know, So, real props. I mean, yes, he's gifted. Obviously, you can't do this without being gifted. But he's also so well-schooled that it makes a dynamite even tougher to deal with.
And if it was up to you, Paulie, what would you like to see? Where does Mikey go from here? If you can call a fight, if you say, I'd like to see Mikey fight, who would it be?
I think Mikey can beat a lot of 140-pounders, but I wouldn't consider him a 140-pound fighter. I'd like to see him go down to 135, maybe defend the title, try to get some unification, try to get some big fights at 135, and then come up to 140, you know? I saw a guy that people tend to forget about over at Barclays Center that night, Richard Comey was in the arena. You know, Richard Comey has been the victim of two very tough decisions against Robert Easter and Denis Shapovalov in Russia. You know, where Tommy is a high-level fighter who really comes to fight. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing a Garcia vs. Tommy fight at lightweight, you know, in the States. You know, it'd be real something really exciting to watch. You know, you have Linares fighting Campbell coming up to November 23rd. You know, maybe Mikey can grab the winner of that fight. I don't think anybody aside maybe from Comey is going to be chomping at the bit to fight Mikey. I really don't think so. Comey's the kind of guy that'll fight anybody. I mean, like I said, he went to Russia to fight Chapov. He went to Ohio to fight Easter. He doesn't care. He's just a hungry fighter who wants to be champion, and he's fun to watch. And he's a gritty fighter. And he's a good fighter. I mean, that's a nice fight. But aside from Comey, I don't see anybody really chomping at the bit to fight Garcia. Why is that? Because they all have something to lose. You know, Linares is a big name. If Campbell beats Linares, Campbell might want to stay in England and you know, build up his name. He's an Olympic gold medalist and now he's a world champion if he does beat Linares. Comey's the kind of guy, he still has everything to gain because, you know, he's come up short of two close decisions. The Shabakov fight, he probably should have won. The Easter fight, he could have won, but it was close. You know, he's got nothing to lose. He's the kind of guy who'll go for it. I'm sure that, you know, there's a couple other lightweight, you know, Flanagan. I don't know what Flanagan's going to do. You know, he's a Frank Warren fighter. Frank Warren tends to, you know, not really get the most out of his fighters. He tends to actually make them into opponents for bigger name fighters. So the possibility of a Flanagan fight might be there because Warren may not know what to do with Flanagan, the WBO champion. Although if I was Warren, I would just make Flanagan against Crawler and making an all-English showdown, you know?
If Mike has trouble getting
but
fights...
But it's a possibility. But it's a possibility because Warren loves to feed his guys. You know, he fed Smith out to Canelo last year. He was ready to do the same thing to Billy Joe Saunders with Golovkin. Just toss him a bone. Toss Golovkin a bone. And, you know, basically, he's the kind of mortal who just wants to... I wouldn't say selling you out because I guess you're going to make some money in those kind of fights, but he's not looking to build into any stars. You know what I'm saying? Warren is done building, trying to build stars. He's just trying to get the most money out of any fighter he can or any money. So instead of building a fighter under some certain amount of defenses, he'll look for the biggest name out there and feed his fighter to him. Now, Flanagan has made a couple of defenses, so a fight with him and Garcia, by even Warren's standards, could easily be made, and I think it's a possibility.
All right. I think we covered that fight pretty well. You know, I'm. You know, since you pointed them out to me, I've been watching the Charlos, and I know Jamal's opponent came in injured, and you know, it was definitely hampered him. But I still was very impressed with Jamal, and I'd love to hear what you had to say about it.
Yeah, Jamal is always a guy. Who's another guy. We talk about positioning. His positioning is always great. He's got these little half steps. Even the way he makes you miss is just barely out of range, so that he can make you pay when he steps back in range. You know, very well schooled, and you need a real amount a high level of calmness fight this way, to where offense is flying your way, and it's flying your way, and it's missing you just barely, and it's constantly in your orbit. That dangerous offense is constantly in your orbit, but you're calm enough to kind of stay in that orbit and make a guy miss by just very barely, and then make him pay. I mean, the athleticism Charlo has to where he can convert defense to offense and offense to defense is really something special to watch. It's beautiful to watch. And also, he's got a terrific jab. I mean, he doesn't care if you're a southpaw or right hand. I mean, he can jab your life away. He can control the fight, dictate the tempo with the jab. Now, the shame about Hyland is Hyland's actually a tough guy. I mean, Hyland stopped Matt Macklin. Hyland has been he's one of these rugged South Americans. It's just the injury he came in with, and people are going to criticize Hyland. They're going to say, oh, well, why did he go into the fight with an injury? You don't understand people's financial situation sometimes. Hyland, this is a career high payday against Charlo. You know, for him, he's thinking it might be the only chance I ever get. You know, and now I'm injured. I can't afford to pull out because if I pull out, they might toss me to the back of the line because I'm not with a big name promoter. I'm not with a big name team to where, okay, let me just pull out and I'll get another opportunity in a few months. You know, so Hyland tried to do what he could. I mean, personally, me, I think the New York Commission is retarded to not let him keep the tape on me. I don't see how having any kind of brace or tape around a knee or will do anything to to give a fighter an advantage. I mean, sometimes I think these commissions, it's like a pissing contest for them. They just look to just create rules or make up shit just so they can say they did it, just so they can say they created that rule. It's the biggest moronic thing out there. I mean, there was nothing that was going to give Hyland any kind of advantage for having a brace on his knee or even tape on his knee.
It's like saying a baseball player shouldn't wear elbow pads, you know, to protect themselves from being hit.
Did they not let Martinez wear a knee brace against Cotto? Did they not let Yuri Foreman wear a knee brace against Cotto?
That's right.
I'm not even, I think they did, but regardless, like, bro, like, what are you doing? You know, like, what difference does it make? It's not like he's shooting kicks or knees where he's like, oh, you know, you give him an advantage, keep him healthy, you know, his leg. Like, all the guy needs his legs to do is keep him up. You know, like, it's not giving him any sort of advantage to keep his knee teeth. I just thought it was the most ridiculous thing I saw. I mean, they make themselves look ridiculous because he obviously passed the medical. So he got by all their doctors,
right,
and nobody caught the knee injury. So then they make themselves look even stupider now by not letting him keep the tape on his knee. And so now he clearly is injured coming into the fight and he's hobbling from round one. So you only made yourself look dumb. So whatever genius in the commission thought he made himself look good, he actually made himself look stupider. You know, I mean, because now it's accentuated the fact that you let this guy get through all your medical standards, procedures with an injury. How do you get by?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When as opposed to if you would have just let him tape the knee, man, I mean, it would have stabilized it at least for a part of the fight to where it would have made the fight at least fun to watch for a little bit. Because Hyland comes to fight. I don't know if Hyland would have been up to beat Charlo. Charlo's something special, but Hyland comes to fight. And I would have liked to see some of that character in the fight. I mean, he showed character just trying to stay up as much as he could on that hobbling leg.
Very tough guy. You could see, even you could just tell how tough he was.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not fair. I really don't like when people take advantage of fighters just to create their own fucking stupid brand, their name, you know, like, create a rule off this guy, you know what I mean? Let's make an example of this guy. Like, you guys work so hard at camp. It's bullshit to treat them this way.
Lack of respect for the fighters, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, now Alan's going to go home. His one American appearance is totally shoddy. People are going to think about him and think, like, oh, yeah, that guy can't fight. Meantime, Highland's a rough guy. He's a guy who comes to fight. He makes no bones about it, you know? And I would have liked to see him try to have been given a better opportunity.
Do you think, you know, it was a title eliminator. Do you think Charlo's ready for that winner of the Triple G Canelo fight, or do you think he should take another fight?
I think Charlo's better than Canelo right now. I think Charlo is actually better than both of them, but I think Golovkin has enough fundamentals and power to where it's a very dangerous fight for Charlo, and Golovkin's probably favored. But Charlo is ready for you to fight. It's just no matter will he win or not, you know. And that'll be the interesting thing. I think Charlo is something special to watch, him and his brother. Another guy with great fundamentals, but he brings more athleticism into the picture. He can mix explosive stepping in and out. Explosive offense comes from some. He can turn it. He's the kind of guy who can turn nothing into something real fast because of the explosive. That first step is so explosive and it's so great when you have those young legs. When you have those legs you have in your mid 20s. You know, when you have that explosive first step, especially when you got a great jab. And I can remember feeling this when I was younger. You know, when I had a jab where I had that explosive first step with that jab that cuts like a razor. You know, and then turns into punching range so smoothly. And Charlo has that right now because he has those young legs and those explosiveness in those legs. And I think he'll be fun to watch for some time.
And they seem to be getting better with every fight. The confidence and just like they seem to improve with every fight.
And it comes with the passion and loving what you do. And I think that clearly shows that Jamal loves what he does and they love what they do. It's a great time in your life when you're able to be at the top of the ladder and enjoy it and make money and also continue to get better and get better at what you love doing.
And, you know, we had Jamal on the show after his last fight, previous fight with Julian Williams, and that showed he talked about what a student of the game he is. So he's definitely one of the good guys to root for in boxing.
Yeah, yeah. You could tell he's a student of the game. He's very creative with his selection as well. A little bit more athletic than Mikey. Mikey's more fundamentally sound, but can go both ways. Jamal is more athletic, but his fundamentals aren't bad. I mean, his hand positioning is great. Especially on his counters, on the inside, like his brother's the same thing too. I remember his brother with the knockout of Charles Padley. The hand positioning was what made that knockout. You know, very well schooled, very well played.
Yeah, and both winners of Saturday night are just really fun to watch.
Yeah, exactly, fun to watch, and I think they'll be here for a while.
All right, so you're in Vegas, so maybe you want to talk about, you know, what's going on there? You're playing craps? What are you doing?
Yeah, no craps here. You know, we had 12 rounds of sparring last night. It's good work, hard work, real hard work, actually, 12 rounds. I actually wasn't too thrilled that they wanted me to go 12 rounds 24 hours after going and getting off a cross-country flight, especially when I had worked all last week. So I wasn't thrilled at first. I kind of came in last night in the gym last night with a bit of a chip on my shoulder and talking a lot of shit. And honestly, the sparring got intense, got heated. We went 12 hard rounds. I think I made my point. I'll say that. I think I made my point last night. Like, you know, don't fuck with me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here to help. I'm here to do the best I can for you guys. Don't try to take advantage of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't try to make like you're running out of a 2-time world champion out of your camp or whatnot. So I went in with a bit of a chip on my shoulder last night, and we definitely went 12 hard rounds.
And that's the kind of work he needs to get ready for this fight. I mean,
absolutely. I mean,
and how do you feel? I mean, you know, because obviously you're sore.
I'm 12 rounds with anybody to get you sore, right?
Yeah, but you know, you retired in March, and now you're back. You know, you probably didn't think when you retired that you'd be back in the ring sparring like this soon. So
And honestly, I questioned whether I could go 12 last night. You know, I remember like the first 5 rounds with like back and forth action, and I was telling myself, man, I don't know if I'm like, in shape enough to go 12 yet. You know, but then like we got to like round 6, and he started fading, so I started really trying to dig in there. You know, and then I said, you know what, I'm not staying here. I got a point to make tonight, and I managed to last till about 12, but then 11 and 12, he came back and turned on me back. You know, like I kind of just totally gassed out in 11 and 12. So we returned the favors to each other, so to speak.
Oh, good. So
I think the point was made.
What's
the mutual respect there.
Good. And what's next for you out there? You when you guys going again?
I don't know yet. You know, I'll find out. You know, I'll whenever they need me, if they're gonna use me again this week, I'm sure maybe later in the week or whatnot. We'll see.
Are there any other
he's part of every 2 days, but I don't think we want him sparring like that every 2 days.
Right. Is there any other sparring partners out there that you know?
Yeah. There's an amateur kid named Kieran Bradley, who's a good amateur kid from Ireland, an international amateur fighter. There's Deshaun Johnson, who's a sort of journeyman professional fighter, who's been in with a lot of guys and plays tough, is great for sparring. And then there's 2 MMA guys that he kind of just throws on the end. It's Max on the end. One's named Arden, and one's named Franz. You know, they're not really boxers, so
right.
You know, they're okay with their stand-up. But a lot of times they just fill out the rounds for him, and he'll throw them in on the end. But last night it was just me and him for 12 rounds, and it was good work. It was hard work. It was good.
Awesome. One other question for you. What are you doing with your downtime out in Vegas?
No, I'm just resting. I mean, the guy was out in the middle of nowhere and like a house they rented for sparring partners, so not doing much. I think today I might go see like TMZ or something. A lot of TMZ's closing. I'm going to go meet with some of Hammond's people, team and boxing people here in Vegas. I might go have lunch with the team, you know, just to fill out the time, you know. It gets a little boring here, but I also don't want to go too crazy, you know.
Right. When you back East Coast?
Probably not till after fight. I think they want me to stay.
Wow.
Till fight week, and then if I feel till fight week, I would have to just transfer over to the casino because I would work with Sky and with Showtime. So if they need me here until fight week, then either fight week once I leave the camp, then you're not sparring fight week, obviously.
Right.
If I leave the camp, I would probably just head right to the casino. So.
All right, so we'll get Pete in here. We'll get Pete in here and we'll get you on the phone when it works for you.
Yeah, man. It sounds good. And, it was, definitely, it's gonna be a long month here in Vegas, but it'll be fun. It was fun last night. I gotta admit, a lot of shit talking last night in Spanish. I had a bit of a chip on my shoulder. He was a bit of a chip on his shoulder. But I think we both needed that. I think we came out of that last night with a lot more respect for each other. You know, a lot more. I was really pissed off. They told me like 12 months. You know? I was really pissed off, you know. Because I show up last night and Dana White's in the gym, runs over Tito's in the gym, they better go to Ramsey. Like I felt like I got set up, you know what I'm saying? So I had a real chip on my shoulder last night, you know. But I think we both came in last night with a bit more respect for each other.
Well, that's a good thing, man. Yeah, thanks for checking in. We look forward to talking to you as you're out there. And Yeah, that's great, man.
So I'll continue to keep everybody posted best I can without giving up too much. But I look forward to being to continue to work here, man. I tell you what, it's hot, man. It's hot. I do miss New York in the summer. The New York summers are the best. I miss being home. And I know I'm going to miss being home this month. But it's going to be worth it. It's going to be an experience here.
Dude, you're going to come back. You're going to be like a fighting weight. You'll be like 160 when you come back.
Yeah, but no fighting for me. I think that's what I said after the sparring last night, too. I said, I think this kind of sparring, you know, a lot of times, like the other guy's wife told me, wow, man, like, you look good. Doesn't that give you the itch to come back to fight again? And I'm like, nah, actually, it does the opposite. If it works like this, it reminds me why I don't want to box anymore.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, man, because, you know, you got a lot more going on. I think you've done enough. You have nothing left to prove in the ring.
Exactly.
All right, man.
All right, so good. We got this little show banged out. Hopefully, everybody enjoys it, and you know, hopefully, we can give you guys a bigger show, a better show next week. It was Peter Cosmo as well.
Yes, sir.
All right, guys.
Thanks, man. Bye. See ya.